All right, welcome back.
I'm going to continue talking and doing the intro.
Plays,
no matter
green box, plays,
these
with his dick in his hands, he's jacking off.
Already got me. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Green Box Gaming. Plays Delta Green. Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays. I am joined by my friends, including the most reasonable of all of them, Brad. Say hi, Brad.
Hello.
And then I'm, of course, joined by the most unreasonable of them all, Dace.
Where's my paycheck, bitch?
And then, of course, by the most handsome of them all. It's also Dace. Thank you very much, Dace.
So honored.
Subversion of expectations.
And John. John, thank
the
you.
The ugliest of them all.
That's not true. Look at him. He's a handsome devil. He's so handsome, even Interpol wants him. Thank you guys for joining us.
Solely
here.
For his looks.
Only for that.
That's like a model, as a hand model for Interpol. That's why they want me.
What was it's like that hand model from Zoolander who has his hand in that like jar thing that keeps it pristine?
Oh my god, yes, yes. So okay, I totally had a Zoolander moment last session. So like, you know, Brad's character Jack's wife Sage came up and like, tell us about Sage, and then he explained all about Sage, and then later I was like, tell me about Sage. and it reminded me so much like of a, but why male models?
You know, it's like, I think Zoolander is such a perfect example. I don't know if Zoolander is a good movie. Now, it is a fun watch, but I don't know if it's like good. It's not good cinema exactly. Like, but it's like, it's a very funny, wacky movie.
I mean, it's
just, I don't know if it's good.
It's a really good comedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
a real
Owen Wilson.
Hard to write comedy that good.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you, I don't know. It's excellent. It should be cinema history, Joe.
It is absurd. And it's like, it's because it's absurd in the same way that like Monty Python was absurd. Like, is it a little different
exactly.
comedy? Yes.
It's like very similar American feel. Absurdism. It's the equivalent of Monty Python in the US.
Right. But, you know, the funny thing is for years and years and years, I had seen snippets of it when it was on TV, but the only snippet I'd really seen was the bit where he's in the mine and he's like covered in coal, and there's the bit where his eyes are closed and he's like bonk, and he like opens his eyes. and that just stuck with me for a long time. That was all I knew.
And his dad, who is played by, I believe, John Voight, who is acting his heart out, like he doesn't realize he's in a comedy, and he's just like, oh. What the fuck's wrong with you, boy?
Oh man.
Something else that's kind of, y'all might already know this, but I didn't know this till a couple years ago. One of his buddies that's in his car when they get blown up is Alexander Skarsgård.
Oh no.
Oh, that's shit.
Amazing.
I did not know that.
I don't know. What is Alexander Skarsgård from?
He's the son.
Zoolander.
He's known for Zoolander. Okay. he's the son of the Skarsgård that was the Baron in Dune, but you would know his face. Like he has three children that now he's like a big kind of like action star, but he's also in some artsy stuff. But it's just like hasn't done anything like that since. And it's like that was so long ago, and he's just like this random.
What a bizarre movie. I mean, it really is. It's like it really feels like a bunch of buddies just got together and just like started with one central idea and just kept riffing off each other until a whole movie script was beat out.
Yeah. And that, like, there's an entire fight scene with gasoline as a gasoline.
Oh my god.
What is
gas
it?
Gas fight, yeah.
Gas fight, yeah.
Same scene.
Yep. And there's the
Jitterbug.
And there's the bit where at the end where they have the fountain, the like memorial fountain.
Yeah.
Oh god. Anyway, but yeah, I don't know.
You know what? You know what's gonna make you feel old? That's like 20 years old at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a grown-ass person worth of age ago, and we're beyond that.
Yeah. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
No.
Listen, as much as I love talking about Zoolander, it does remind, again, I don't know if it's, it is funny and wacky in its own special way. I still don't know if it's like, it depends on what you call a good movie. But speaking of things that are also wacky and a little funny and unhinged and not necessarily good, let's get back
to the movie.
Two out of ten. Terrible, terrible segue. We need to keep going until we find a better segue.
Nope. Hope it's happening, John. I'm going to pull one out of your... I'm going to take a page out of your book, John, when you were doing Reverb. Like, and banter is over.
Oh! I like that. I like that. That makes me feel... That pets my ego.
Oh, we can't have any of that. Well, listen, last time, the team, Bert, Jack, and Thorn. Last time... John... I'm trying. You participated in the disruption.
I'm enjoying.
You're participating in the disruption of the recap.
Why am I always in trouble on this talk show?
Why are you like this? Last time, you guys started in with the autopsy of Chris and Martin. These two guys you pulled out of this of the lake, finding out more interesting things about them. One of them's been opened up and his liver removed. The other, they've both been drained, but one of them has been drained and not really touched otherwise, and he wasn't drained as much, and the injury to his brain wasn't as bad. What's that?
Can I just ask a question? Like, the handouts that we got describe Ed Stoltz and Chris Martin. Or Chris Martin. But it really depends on how many typos there are. Can we just figure out who these characters are? Are they Ed and Chris? Or are they Chris and Martin? I just don't know anymore.
They're Ed and Chris. My bad.
Are they Ed and Chris? Ed and Chris. All right. And I'm the bad guy. I'm the fucking bad guy all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Let it be known. Listeners, let it be known. I'm the bad guy. I just work with the material I'm given, okay?
It's just
John
Lucas,
the heel from now on.
I'm the fucking
guy. It's not me anymore. Yeah. You're officially the heel of Green Box Gaming.
Thank God. I literally feel like there's this weight off of my chest.
Yeah. So you guys went to the autopsy, got the info there. You told, and one of the things that happened is you told, or actually before that, Bert contacted his people, his paralegal, who he had apparently has a very problematic relationship with, and is going to get her to run down this badge number from the badge that you guys got from Colorado's. You guys are getting Fred Smith to send off blood samples, the meager amount of blood he was able to get out of these bodies, off to the state lab to see if they can find anything. Lastly, there was something said about Sage initially, right? Some questions about Sage Dorner that Jack has said he would say figure out later. Then you guys were called to a meeting with Miss Green, who is this figure that Jack was told by Mr. Green that would be reaching out, that she would be able to support them, but she can't be close to it. She comes in, she tells you basically, she says, hey Thorn, I'm actually a member of the same department as you. She calls it the company, which definitely Thorn would know as the CIA. It's kind of the CIA calls itself. Says that she's really there to look into this Van Olsen, and you guys do some picking, and Thorne's like, don't really believe you, not give us the full story. Pokes and prods until she says, okay, fine, listen, Van Olsen, he's like an uppy-up guy in the Dutch Royal Shell oil company, and he's going to give us the opportunity to put some type of devices in the Arctic Ocean that we can use to detect submarines, right? So, you know, this is 1991. That stuff is still going on, right? You still didn't really believe her, but you let it rest. She basically tells you, hey, listen, we're thinking that there might be Russians or other people watching this. Have you seen anyone? You guys tell them about Brewer and Jones, these two ATF agents that had showed up at the coroner's office. She's like, okay, tell me if they show back up. You know, anyone comes around asking, I need to know. She then asks to have a confab with Dorner, Jack Dorner, and says, listen, those two were keeping an eye on them. If you guys run into something unnatural, you need to keep an eye on them. Let us know whether or not they need to be contained or not. If they keep their mouth shut, we might be able to read them in. If not, you know, we're going to have to contain them. And she tells you, she says, that she's actually here. You know, the cover is this Van Olsen thing. That she's actually here because she's following Brewer and Jones. She didn't give you any more information about that, but she said that she's actually following them. That they are a part of this somehow. And you're not really sure what's going on there. She makes it very clear she's not happy that Jack is being let in initially. Jack still doesn't even know what he's being let into, right? And she's like, you should never have been let into this. You were way too close to it, you know, with his wife. And she really pissed off Jack and I think pushed his buttons a little bit. And off the back of it, Jack, on the way back to the hotel, tells these guys what has happened. Tells him that his wife was a part of some secret organization. She disappeared. They eventually contacted him and kind of recruited him. He came here. Willikett died. Willikett died, and then these people came and covered it up. He's been lying to them. He doesn't know who they're working for. He thinks they're the good guys, but they don't know. Are there Russians involved? Is there other parts of the government? And Thorne and... I don't know, like, Thorne and Bert seem to be kind of like, okay, we've got it. We're working for some real high-uppy-up stuff. You know, the unnatural bit has still not really broached the topic. It's really not come forth yet. And we left off with Jack standing there in his hotel room. That in book in hand. In his underwear. The second the door closes, he strips.
He just takes off his pants off. Yeah. Just,
but he's still wearing his shirt, like his button-up shirt, just no pants. Just
pants, no right. pants. Holding the ritual book.
Holding the ritual book from Sage. And that is where we are going to pick up. Before I get to Jack, actually, what's going on with him, what he's going to do or not do. Tell me about Bert. Like, Bert, you're going back to your room. You close the door behind you. Jack has just told you, you know, you had observed the cleanup crew when they left from Willikett's room. What is Bert thinking about all this?
Probably knew there was something fishy going on from the very start, and he's interested to get to the bottom of it. He feels very good about having given Miss Green his business card to give to Mr. Van Olsen,
yeah.
Who's an oil magnate.
Yeah, all right, that's right. Yeah,
these are contacts made, and you have to do this every day.
Yeah, leverage.
Right? Leverage. As far as the bodies and bags, I think he's just going to put a pin in that.
Also,
and he might have to.
Like, why would they need to do that kind of thing? Or what do you mean?
This is a little. So Jack is now one of his clients.
Okay.
As we established last session.
That's right.
So he doesn't want to know too much. He just wants to know just enough to be able to fix it.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, I assume Bert, you know, opens up his 5-gallon bucket of moisturizer and starts to go to town.
Yeah, he's simultaneously moisturizing and doing yoga, and he cranks the thermostat up to 95 in his motel room and starts sweating so his pores can absorb the gloopy moisture, and it's just like a...
For some reason, you know that scene with Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport where he's got his feet on the chairs and he's the
yes, and he's doing splits.
But you're just like covered in
fucking like bricks, and it's like,
no bricks. Substitute bricks with moisturizer, tubs of moisturizer, and so it's just gross. Like slurping and glorping down his body, like, and sort of glooping off in chunks and glopping onto the floor.
Well, there goes our viewership.
Yep, done. I'd quit.
Oh, it's nice seeing y'all. Thanks for supporting us. I'll see y'all never.
All right, Jean, what about Thorn gets back? This is a lot, and you have been not trusting Jack, but now it seems that things have been opened up. What are you thinking?
I think Thorn would have his own murder board in his room, and it would be like a A3, A2 maybe, even murder board, and he'll look at it, and he's got all this rope, and he's got all this yarn attached, this red yarn between things. And you'll look at this thing and be like, we need a bigger board.
We're going to need a bigger board.
And, but by and large, I think he is, I think he's actually reassured. Some of his motivations are to prevent violence through dialogue and understanding, uncover the truth behind jurisdictional smoke screens, and professional excellence and reputation. So I think having connected to Jack and broken through and pointed out that he was lying to them, I think he'll feel a little bit reassured by all of it. I think he'll actually sleep well tonight, even though he just uncovered that he's probably not safe in this hotel tonight.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Going back to Jack. Jack, you're standing there, pants around your ankles, a journal in your hand.
Question, why did Jack suddenly de-pants himself? I know it was canonical, but
because Dace thought it was funny.
Wait, that wasn't me, was it?
It was me.
Oh.
Sounds like something I would do, but I'm not going to take the blame for this one.
Jean thought it was funny.
Aramis,
well, there
Aramis
you are.
Says, Aramis says, we've all been there, Jack.
With ritual in hand, pants around your ankles.
Pants that's around just, ankles, ritual
that's just
in hand,
a good night.
Ready to go.
That's a good Valentine's Day right there.
What are you thinking?
He pulls his pants back up, first of all.
He changes his mind about his pants.
Simply too hard of a wank for me tonight.
Too much.
You know, now that I think about it, I think I'm just sad. I'm not actually in the mood.
Now that I think about it, I think I made a terrible mistake, and he just pulls his pants up.
Probably wind up worse off for it. It's a responsible decision not to.
Oh, God. So anyway.
Right, as we're all laughing, Jack's looking at the journal of his wife he hasn't seen and
that's
who
right.
knows how long. She might be dead. Who knows? And the last remaining bits he has of this person that he loved for so long and hasn't seen in ages.
Well, what
and
you
then I imagine it has a key. He'll take the key and unlock the journal. He hasn't even looked in it.
Okay. Mm. So you open it up and there is it is very much a journal, you know, and Sage was a prolific note taker, right? You know, she was an academic as well. See that a large section of notes appears to be torn out, right? But where it starts and it talks about, it's very vague, that the language is very vague. She talks about that she had, it starts off and says that she's going to somewhere in New Mexico for a job. Says that there is a, she was contacted by her handler, she calls it, and you see the next entry is almost a week later. Like, there's nothing for a week. And then a week, and she talks about how it's like this she went to this strange hotel. And it's insane. I mean, she talks about that time was looping. That apparently there were multiple casualties. And in the end, she describes that she says she got away with what she calls a modern grimoire in the form of a Rolodex, right? Hmm. And she transcribes, She translates and transcribes in this book a small ritual. And she, and in her description, it says that she believes that this is a way to commune with unknown and not entirely benign forces to answer questions or see secrets. It's very unclear, even in her, and maybe you are also a professor and quite learned. Maybe she even includes some snippets of the original, like, Latin that it's written in, and it's just, it's very unclear exactly what it's supposed to be doing. In that, but it seems to be some type of ritual that you have to engage in that includes a series of symbols being drawn about you, the saying of certain words. And it promises, and there's this element of you, it's like as you're reading it, maybe you find yourself, it's like there's this part of you that's like, oh, this could be the secret to it all, like this could unlock, this could reveal what I need to know. But then you realize that thought is not even like in your own voice, that thought is like another voice almost, that seemed like you, but the second you realize it, it disappears.
As soon as that happens, he'll like scoot away from the desk, like close it real quick, and like start breathing heavily. Look in his bag, and he'll have like a small flask, and he'll take a sip, put it down on the desk, and open it right back up where he was.
My question to you, Brad, are you going to engage in this ritual?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
You're sitting in this hotel room in Globe, Arizona, at this desk. There is one of the things that you need is a mirror, you know, and there is like a large wall mirror, and you take it down and you set it in front of you so that you can sit on the ground and look into the mirror, right? And on several sheets of paper, maybe you tear them out of that notebook, you write these, you know, you transcribe the best you can, being very careful to try to get them right the way that Sage had written them in their several symbols, and you put them on the ground about you at certain, like at some point in time it says that one of them has, that they have to be oriented like north, that this one has to be oriented north and this one to the west, and you're like, you have to figure out what direction north and west are, you know, and all this stuff. And you sit down, and you were going to, it's going to take you a while to figure this out, to even read and get ready to complete the ritual. I'm going to roll a dice here.
This is the middle of the night, right?
This is the middle of the night.
In his underpants. No pants, with a book and fragments of paper around him.
It only takes you about an hour, and you are pretty confident that you have it. That you have it all.
It's a little premature to me.
Well, you know, his pants are already off, so. so you're able to get it down. Take one sanity damage from realizing and studying the ritual itself. That's just from studying it. That's from unnatural. Now, you believe that if you do this chant and look into this mirror, you know you're supposed to look into your own eyes in this mirror, right? You know, as you do this chant. You think that the longer, one of the things that's mentioned in the notes, it mentions that the longer the ritual goes on, the more dangerous, but possibly more productive it becomes. So,
okay.
So Jack begins to engage in the ritual, chanting.
Yeah, I imagine. You know, he's a historian, so he's proficient in Egyptian, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, ancient Egyptian, that's the only thing. So he's like, I assume he's probably saying them somewhat accurately, you know?
Yeah. Well, she probably has, like, a phonetic, you know, like, key for you to say words that you're unfamiliar with. And, like, you're going through them, and you're chanting, and you're looking to your eyes. And at some point in time in the ritual, after about a minute, there is a space in the chant for you to ask a question. What question are you going to ask?
He'll say, "Where is Dieter and Vera Olsen?"
The words come out of your mouth. "Where are Dieter and Vera Van Olsen?" And as they do, right as you get to the end, your reflection, your mouth is out of sync with the rest of you, with what you are saying. And the you in the mirror, the reflection, puts his head down, and you see that the room around you is becoming dark. Take one sanity point of damage and lose one willpower. That you are forcing this into being.
Okay.
You. What do you do when you see this reflection begin to act on its own? It's now sitting there, legs crossed, head down, and like shaking. This reflection of you, supposedly.
I'll look down at, trying to see in the same, like at the same angle this reflection is looking down.
You look down at your lap and
you're trying
to
match the reflection.
You're looking down trying to match, and as you look back up, you're surrounded by hard, by rough-hewn rock walls. And there's something dripping down and flowing all around your feet. And it's dark red. You reach down and touch the blood that is pooling around your sitting form. And you hear a scream, a wail beyond pain, through echoing through the tunnels. Do you want to continue?
Yes.
Take one more sanity point and one more willpower point of damage.
Like I'm walking through this illusion now, like I'm trying to find the sound in that sense.
Yeah, like, or maybe even like, maybe you don't even realize you stand, just like whoosh, you're standing and like walking down the hall or walking down this tunnel. You see wooden support beams struggling under the weight of this rock all around you. And you can hear the sounds of chains, of like chains rattling. And you're moving. You're moving down this hallway. And you hear again this wail. And you look up and you see a woman. A woman, as she is crouched down, holding her knees to her chest. White woman, blonde hair. And she's sitting there, and her, like, you can tell she's been crying. But there are no tears now. It's all dried up. And her eyes are just wide open in horror. As you see the body, you see two bodies of two people in their 60s, a man and a woman, hanging from what looks like impromptu meat hooks from the ceiling, and the sounds of them swinging as they both are wailing in pain. Go ahead and make me a sanity check for violence.
Imagine this is like, at first he kept going because this is almost like the dreams he had when he was last time with Sage, but then now they become a little bit more
success. Take
realized.
One sanity damage for success.
Hey.
You are going through some sanity right now. Do you continue?
He's like thoroughly freaked out because this is not like his dreams he had before. It's become more or less, but he'll try to muster up the strength and go a little bit further.
You can ask another question if you want, right? Because you now have your answer, which is, where are they? Here they are.
He'll say, he'll like try to keep it together, "Sumpter. Where's Leslie Sumpter?"
In a flash, you're gone. Take one sanity damage, one willpower damage.
Okay.
But you're standing. You're standing on top of one of these big, flat-topped rock-like mesas. And down by you, like coming around your legs, is the biggest fucking coyote you have ever seen. It has that long, thin snout, but it easily comes up to your chest, and it circles around you and looks up with a viciously unnatural intelligence and growls at you deeply.
He'll, like, fall back and try to scoot away from it, looking at his surroundings. Do I see anything familiar? Like, I'm sure this is a huge vantage point.
Yeah, it's a huge vantage point. It, like, pads towards you and then kind of lets out, like, a huff, you know, like, at you without, and stops growling and turns, and you see that off in the distance on the hilltop, you're not sure where, you see a tiny, tiny light. Like there is a cave with a light on inside it. And maybe the light is just flickering a tiny bit. Tiny, tiny bit. And the coyote rears its head back and begins that awful yipping howl that coyotes do. And you hear it echoed by others in the distance. Do you continue?
He'll push one more time, and then he's like, I don't see her. Where is she? Where's Leslie? Crit 22.
Critical success.
Holy shit. He got a crit.
22.
I imagine he's also like trying to run, almost like run away down the hill or towards this cave.
Yeah.
Like,
you find yourself, like, maybe in a moment, like, you fall, and you find yourself being dragged over the rough rocks by your ankle by a man. You can't see him. He's large and dark, and it's like you're on the ground, but it's like almost like you can't move, like you're paralyzed. And every now and then, your head bobs in just the right way to see the back of this huge dude. He's wearing, like, like a plaid kind of like a button-up shirt with the sleeves rolled up, blue jeans, heavy boots, and with just one hand, he's just effortlessly just dragging you along the rough ground. And you see the mouth of this cave now. And he turns his head. He has long, dark hair. He turns his head just a little bit. You can barely make out his features, maybe just a little bit. And he says, "You'll be joining the others. I'm sure the girl would like the company before the end." And then, we're back. You're back in the hotel room. You are holding on to the edge, to the sides of the mirror. You're on your knees, forehead to the glass, sweat dripping down, saliva dripping out of your mouth. Right before you vomit on the floor, your whole body just, repulsed, confused, like, who knows, with everything you just saw.
Jack will, like, wipe his mouth, throw some water on his face, pick up the paper, rip it up, throw it in the trash, take the mirror and turn it around and face it towards the wall. And
Jesus Christ. I think I know where they are.
And try to get some sleep if possible.
Alright.
Does he get sleep after that? That seems ridiculous.
You know what? What I wanted was going to have you roll that last sanity check for was to see if you could even continue to push through.
Right.
Or if you were going to kind of like fail to continue to push. And if I was going to charge you more. Oh, yeah. Take one more sanity willpower. Sorry, my bad. Because you got a critical. If you got a success, I was going to charge you 2 sanity, 2 willpower. Because you got a critical, I only charged you 1. Yeah, I don't know. Like, roll me another sanity check, and if you pass,
What are the mechanics for like drug use and sleep?
Oh, it gives you a plus. It gives you a, like, okay, a plus 20 right, to stuff like that. But he rolled a 50. He did. Okay. 50 under 73.
Fine. He sleeps you, like a...
You are able to sleep, like, but even as you do, there is this... But there's something in your dreams, Jack, tonight. It's this coyote. Think about the paw print you saw at the Royos site. Just something about it. It's there, and it's watching. It's watching you from afar. Next morning. The next morning, everyone. It is Sunday, the 4th of August, 1991. Of course, the sun comes up. It's initially a little cooler in the evening. It doesn't take long. You guys get up and about, say around 8 o'clock in the morning. People are moving to and fro in the town. Little sleepy Sunday. What are we thinking?
I'm assuming we meet up at a spot to have breakfast, and Jack will just have coffee as usual, but he'll have his suitcase packed. He'll be Thorn, I think I did something really dumb last night.
Thorn, sorry, Jack, before you continue, I brought you this beautiful little embroidery attachment. It's a beautiful coyote.
He's like done you a cross stitch.
It's a cross. It's a beautiful coyote. Do you like it? I thought we could all benefit from coming together after our revelations last night.
Like a souvenir shop thing.
Yeah.
Smacks it across the table. It's like, oh, we can't stay here tonight. We have to go. I can't stay in this place.
You're being strange. I got you your favorite breakfast order. 2 over easy eggs, 1 under easy pancake, soggy hash browns, and ketchup with 50% less sugar. Don't make that go to waste, Jack.
Bird. You're not listening to me.
Thorn looks at the under easy pancake uneasily.
What's bothering you, Jack? You seem agitated.
Last night, I know where Dieter and Leslie are, I think. God, this sounds... You remember everything I told you last night about this organization we're wrapped in with what Sage told me, the experiences I had.
Oh, I remember. I remember what you told me. I remember what you told me.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I read her journal, and in it was, I don't know, a damn spell, something, ancient text, and I wrote it out and followed it to a T, and I had a vision. Thorn, does this sound like anything the CIA has messed with that you know of? The organization, whatever you call it.
Jack. This is... You know what? Let's get another coffee. Let's get you another under-easy pancake.
Easy pancake.
And I just want to reassure
you... Waffles, damn it! Waffles! I want waffles!
We'll get you a waffle, don't you fret. I don't think you should fret. This is just sleep deprivation, Jack. I don't think you need to worry.
No, it's more than that. I was on it.
It's okay. No, you're okay. You're okay. I've seen this. This is a classic psychosis. This is a stress-related. You've been on the job for a while. It's been about a week or so. Jack, it's okay. We've seen this. You're okay. Just don't worry about it. Put it in your dream journal for now. But I wouldn't worry too much about what you saw It's just your mind's way of processing what's happened.
Could have been. I mean, saw a coyote. Maybe it had to do with that.
Well, that's weird.
We saw.
I just brought you a coyote embroidery, and you threw it away. It's just odd, but that's okay.
Just humor me. Where can I roll like a something to look at this? We had the map. Like, where do I think this vantage point was from? Could I roll a?
That's gonna be hard.
Navigate. Yeah.
Without. Oh God! I mean that's rough. That is really rough. Like you're, all right, you're well, asking then
I'll just go with what Jack would think. I was at a big. I think we need to go to Mount Turnbull near the caves. Regardless, I mean we were gonna go after Leslie soon. I think it's all related.
Is the uranium mine?
Uranium? Yeah.
Yes, some sort of mine. But I was. Just bear with me. I know this sounds crazy. Like, can we just go to Mount Turnbull today, just to prove that this is all a hallucination or something?
Well, I guess I've not got nothing better to do.
Okay.
Again, I can't stress enough how important sleep is.
Jack, do you see what I'm saying? This is the result of sleep deprivation if you go far enough.
You might be onto something, Thorpe.
Yeah, and then Bert goes to the bathroom and he comes out looking way perkier.
With more cream dripping from his fingers.
All right.
Oh no.
To the mines we go.
I just go powder my nose. That's okay, so you guys are trying to head out to the mine near Mount Turnbull.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't roll anything. That's just where my character thinks, assuming that's a giant vantage point from around the area, you know?
Yeah.
Before
I'm not
we
saying
head
we
up.
Could hike the whole mountain, but like some, like, in, is there trails leading to this, or is this just like a, I don't guess this is like a tourist spot or anything.
No, this is like way out there. This is so much, let me see if I can actually pull this up.
I just want to do something before we head out, though.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean,
I would probably phone Fred Smith, the coroner, and just see if he had an update on us for us. And follow up with Bert and the badge number.
Yeah. So this is 1991. You know, getting things sent off and running them in a lab is going to take more than... Because that was late last night. This is now early morning next day, and it's a Sunday.
So he's got nothing for you. So Fred's entirety was just sending off blood samples.
He had to collect them and, you know, get them ready and send them off. But he has to send them off to the state crime lab, who has, like, other equipment, right? So that's going to be a day or two.
What is Fred even doing? He asks Bert.
What is it? What does he even do? Right? That's probably... He tells you that, you know, this being... That the nature of this case being so wildly important right now, now three deaths. He tells you he can probably have it by tomorrow.
Yeah, on Monday. And the badge number?
If we could only have four. Am I right, Thorn? Might push it up a little bit in the books.
Four deaths, you mean, Bert? Four victims of a
would
horrific
murder. The relevance of the case up in the books. We might see results sooner.
Can you see a way of
I'm
doing
not suggesting
that?
Anything.
Well,
absolutely
I'm
not.
It.
And as your legal representation, I would not advise it.
But strategically, but
There is no if, and, or but, Thorn. Off the record.
What's happening?
We should get a burger.
What are y'all trying to do before we go out there?
I was trying to find out if there was any feedback from the people that we tasked with doing stuff yesterday, but it seems like Bert might have an idea for how to escalate the situation if we can just come up with another victim.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's what he's suggesting.
So keep in mind, there are actually mechanical ways to speed things up in the world of Delta Green. Okay.
All right.
Such as the wonderful, exciting skill of bureaucracy. You know, like if you want to try to grease the wheels a little bit, you can roll something for
this. Okay. I didn't actually realize that was an option. I will do that right now if you allow me to.
Go for it.
All right.
Let's see if Bert knows a way.
Success. 37 under 90.
God, I forget you guys are so good at certain things.
We're so good at this.
Okay, so he tells you, he's like, okay, I might be able to have it by this evening. He looks at it, he's like, okay.
How about this afternoon? Push.
He's like, this evening's best I can do. It still takes some time to run the test itself. But if I make some calls, I can get my assistant to drive it up there. It's like 2 hours away. They can drive it up there. And if I can make some calls, maybe I can like have them actually run the samples tonight, like today. They're going to have to call someone in. It's Sunday. So
that would be exquisite.
Okay.
And you will be compensated.
Oh, excellent.
For your time.
Are you just negotiating directly with the DM right now? With our handler?
Yeah, he's going to pay me.
Okay. On that note,
I'll pay Joe $50 right now.
We should probably sleep and recover, right?
Oh, yes. Hit your buttons.
Buttons hit. I'm at full willpower. Oh. Hit points.
One of you needs willpower.
Right.
Yes.
Roll a d6.
D6. Yeah, that was a chunk. 3.
Almost all of it back. Okay. Yeah, so, Bert.
Yes, indeed.
Here's what I'm going to actually do. I'm actually going to roll something for... I'm going to roll Lucy's bureaucracy skill.
Okay.
Let's see how good she is at working this out. Okay, she rolled a 27. Do you think a paralegal to the hellish experience that is... Bailey Cooper and Morris?
That he no longer talks to her directly... And they just communicate via text for my own sake.
Maybe that's fine. For your sake. She calls you, or maybe you guys are there at breakfast, and one of the workers of the hotel comes over and is like, you know, Mr. Morris, I have a message from you, from your assistant.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Yes. Put the phone up to his ear.
It's not Lucy. It's a message from Lucy, and it's like a paper message. There's no phone. You can just have your phone anyway.
Well.
Anyway, he hands you a piece of paper that says, "Was stonewalled. Someone wants to talk to you." And there is a number, and it says, Jared Rice, Chief of Texas Highway Patrol.
Okay. So, I'll take that piece of paper, and I'll roll it up, and I'll scroll on a piece of napkin, Lucy... Do your fucking job. And I'll roll it up and I'll give it to the person that delivered it to me and tell them
to call her back.
Back.
All right.
But yes. So we have this information, which is say that again. It says, we're stonewalled by...
Stonewalled. They want you to call them Jared Rice, commander of the Texas State Highway Patrol.
Jared Rice, commander of Texas State Highway Patrol. Okay.
Cool.
So I'll come back over to my party and say, I got the badge number back. It seems to be from one Jared Rice of the Texas State Highway Patrol.
No, that's the commander that wants you to call him.
God damn it.
Yeah, okay. So we don't have... What are you telling me, Bert, that we have nothing on the...
I'm simply telling you that we have to find a payphone, and then I can call Commander Rice, and then maybe we can possibly sort something out.
Would you want to do that now or after today, or after, at the end of the night? Well, this leads me to the question. Do we feel like we're going to have to... Is this going to be like a day hike? Do we feel like we're going to have to camp?
Yeah, how do we get to the mine?
You were given the information on basically how to get there that from... what was her name? The girl who... Sumter, the Sumter girl.
Leslie.
She had... Her father had given you basically some maps of like how they used to get out there to and from the mine. You can drive. It's going to be a long drive. It's going to be like an hour or two. It's not going to take you all day, but you can get out there and back.
Does Bert want to do this after, at the end of the day, or now?
What do we think is going to be more strategic?
I do not know. But, let's just go out there.
Okay, so what time of the day? It's about the morning, right?
Morning. Yeah, it's like okay. 8, 9 o'clock.
We've right got now. Our coffee, we're at the cafeteria, you've just received this terrible news that your paralegal hasn't done her job, but she got blocked by this Jared Rice. I think we would phone Jared Rice immediately. And then, barring any further information, we probably go and investigate the mines, depending on whether we could maybe check with Chief Alejandro's if it's safe to go to the mines at the moment. Because we are still working with him, and I think Thorn would want to get his clearance on that.
Okay. Phone him up.
Yeah, it's you guys probably can get in the conference room. They probably have like a phone there, as a speakerphone on it. So you guys dial in the number for this, and you get a sound of a voice. It's like a man. He's like a Texas State Highway Patrol. How am I going to direct your call?
I'm looking for Jared Rice, Officer Jared Rice.
You mean Commander Rice? Yes. May I ask?
That would be my mistake. That would be the one, Commander Rice.
Yes, Commander Rice is very busy. Can I ask what this is about?
This is of the utmost importance. This is about a homicide in Globe.
Side in Globe, Texas? I don't know where Globe is.
I'm afraid it's going to be a different state, my dear. It's either Arizona or New Mexico. I'm the best lawyer.
Okay, one moment. And there's a brief pause, and then the voice comes back. It's like, the commander will take your call immediately. And there's another brief pause. You guys are just on hold. You hear... This is Commander Rice. Am I speaking to, Mr. Burt Morris, Esquire?
The one and the only.
Mr. Morris, I'm the commander of the Texas State Highway Patrol. How did you come by that badge number?
Your boy's badge was found floating at a lake in my client's jurisdiction.
And your client,
I could
is...
ask you, sir, how your boy's badge was found floating in this lake.
Where exactly?
I suspect he might be guilty of a spree of crimes spanning from New Orleans to Texas to the great west of the states.
Because that's what people say.
One of those states, it's definitely New Mexico or Arizona.
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 You sound like you're calling from Arizona.
And it's definitely Arizona.
All right. I'm assuming you have not been in the great state of Texas recently. Am I correct in that? Otherwise, you would have surely have seen this on the news. Are
go,
you operating with... Are you with law enforcement?
I am indeed.
And he's like, you hear him, he's like, all the energy goes out. He's like, indeed, that officer. We have been looking for him. He is one of ours. His name's Kenneth Braverman. Highway patrolman. Young, exceptional. Murdered his children. And kidnapped his wife.
Jesus.
And disappeared. Shit.
Wait. K-E-N.
God damn it.
It's a slow Brave morning man. For Bert.
Out of nowhere. He was a patrolman. We've got him linked to about half a dozen other murders in Houston. And you're telling me he's in Arizona? You found his badge? Have you found him?
Oh, we found his badge.
Tell me he is not fucking hurt anybody else.
I don't think we've ID'd the body. We have not identified a body as Kenneth Braverman, but we have found his badge. And his badge has been evidence in crimes perpetuated in this jurisdiction. Now, I don't know if it's Kenneth that we got here. And if it's not Kenneth, I don't know how this man that did these murders got this badge. I'm reaching out to you so that you can give me any information that might be pertinent to the case. Any information would be helpful.
Who are you working with? What agency?
FBI.
God damn it.
I get that a lot.
Out of Arizona? Or out of Phoenix? Is that right? Phoenix office?
Yes.
It's so much bigger than that.
I will provide your team with whatever you need. This is one of ours. We should... Let me make it very clear. I'm interested in Kenneth Braverman being brought to justice, especially given what he did to his family and those girls downtown. Whatever you need. Your paralegal contacted us, asked about this badge number, and I was afraid this is what was going to happen. He disappeared. We lost him. Now he's in Arizona.
The boy's gone psychotic. And he's dead.
more than psychotic.
But he's left a lot of shit in the wake. There's a lot of shit to be repaired.
Yeah, you could say that. His wife.
What do you know about?
His wife.
What do you know about New Orleans?
What about New Orleans?
There is a killer a few months back. Share the same MOs. Kenneth?
I don't know anything about a murder in New Orleans. That's, Braverman's been on duty. He's only been working with us about 2 years. He's been on duty, you know, for months. He hasn't gone on vacation or anything. I can't imagine he'd make it all the way to New Orleans. Certainly not long enough to do anything nefarious. I suppose I could be wrong, but trust me, we have very much looked into what he's been up to. It all kicked off around the middle of July. He was spotted. Houston Vice, you know, was running prostitution stings down in the city, and they spotted him. Spotted him talking to girls, and then the girls disappeared. Until they weren't disappeared. Until they started finding body parts stuffed into sewer drains and dumpsters. Bodies eviscerated, drained of blood. Then, when Vice came down on him, got homicide involved, went to his house and they found his kids. Butchered.
This is on a conference call, right? Like, everybody's hearing this?
Yeah. You guys are all in a little room listening to the phone.
Just been keeping
very quiet. Imagine Jack's just having flashbacks to this big figure dragging him.
Yeah.
In his vision.
That was on the 20th. The 20th is when they discovered it. He was already gone. Took his wife. We assume took his wife. His wife is missing. I don't know what went wrong with him. It's too late.
What's his MO? Do you think she might still be alive? Is there a chance?
No idea. There were signs of torture. Sometimes days worth on the girls, the prostitutes. Maybe is the best question,
amateur.
Best answer I got for you.
You can never predict these psychos.
Yeah, they blend in. They look just like everybody else. It's really weird.
Just like everybody else?
They could be sitting in the room with you and you'd never know.
Would never know. Couldn't tell.
Sitting there on a conference call, cool as a cucumber.
Jared, this is Thorne, colleague of the Bert Morris Esquire over here. Do you know if Kenneth was working with anybody else? Any potential other leads? Anybody else we can work with here? Aside from the navel gazing about the nature of psychopathy.
Who was he working with? Like,
anybody like that might be linked to him? Sure.
Oh, I mean, but the last thing we had, the last time Braverman, last thing he did, so he was working on the 15th, working night shift. We had a call. He called in, radioed in right around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, said he was pulling over a speeder, and after that he disappeared until Vice saw him. We were looking for him. We thought he was dead. We thought
the 19th?
He got gunned down on the side of the road.
Which month was that?
July. The 15th 19th of July was the
15th.
15th of July was the last call we had. You know, it's you pull someone over, you radio back to the station. Last time we had him was pulling over a car. like I said, we were worried, and then we hear that Vice is seeing him. It's like, it's not even the same guy. He abandoned his work, killed his family.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot, Commander Rice. Have you been in contact with Chief Alejandros?
No, until I heard about, you know, basically, you know, the paralegal contacted us here at the command and here at headquarters. It's the first I've heard about Arizona at all.
Well, that's fine. What else can you tell us? It seems like you did not really provide much more information to the paralegal. What else can you give us, Commander Rice? We can obviously furnish you with our credentials, but we're just curious for why you...
Can you fax you...
Everything you've got?
I can fax you what I have on Braverman. I know the files of the stuff that Vice had on him, his crime scene, his house, his, you know, photographs, him, the wife, everything. You know, we've got I've got a picture here in his file, and I've got his picture here, this picture of him and his wife from the Christmas party. You know, well, he was one of us.
Can you send that to us, please?
Yes, of course. I'm gonna have to get a hold of your people, your contact in Phoenix. I'll work with you guys, send you guys whatever you want. You know, call my office, ask for... I'm going to let the people here know that if you guys call to work with you, whatever he's done there, you say he's hurt people? Has he killed anyone else?
We suspect there's a number of people that have been left in his wake. Thorn will kind of look at Jack, and he'll kind of speak into the speakerphone. Like, Jared, have you put out an APB on Kenneth? Or is this still internal?
No, we have definitely put on APB. It's all been all over Texas news. The only reason you haven't heard about it is because you guys are two states away.
Sounds like we may need to escalate that.
Yeah, we might. I'll talk to your people in Phoenix. This is a federal thing that I've let them do that. I don't want to step on their toes. Braverman went bad, real bad, and we wanted to. He's got right now, he has 10 people under his belt. 10 murders, including his two children. 8 prostitutes in Houston.
Commander Rice.
Hey.
Is there anything you could give us to help us track him down? Anything at all? Cell phone? Apart from the base that you're going to send us over the Christmas party photo, is there anything else you can help us with for what might lead us to him?
I'll send you everything I've got. That's the best I can do. I'm going to drop. He is going to give you guys, eventually, he's going to fax you guys an article in the Houstonian of the newspaper titled The Houston Hooker Hunter.
It's got a good alliteration to it.
That's good. Yeah, they're doing great work over there at the Houstonian.
Before we hang up, were you close to him, Commander Rice?
No, I'm the commander of the entirety of the Texas State Highway Patrol. I don't know a lot of individual agents or individual patrolmen.
Is there anybody who is close to him that we might be able to talk to see what the hell was going on or why he may have snapped like this?
I mean, they were a young couple. They, you know, he...
But nobody in your department?
That he had worked with. I can ask around. I can tell you. I mean, we've done extensive interviews, and we've had, you know, the Texas State Police do interviews too. Like, we are handling this very seriously. We are not trying to cover this up. This guy is a bad guy, and he's one of ours, and we have to do this right. You can talk to whoever you want, but I can tell you those that has been done extensively. Everyone was confused. Everyone was blindsided. This is not right. This is not. I've never seen anything like this in all my days.
Well, anything else, gentlemen?
Thank you for the call, sir, and we'll be in contact.
All right.
Bert is already outside, and he is calling Lucy, and he's like, you gotta look up this PD. They're complicit in everything. There's a huge settlement waiting for us. This is this could be
settlement.
We could be talking
huge money.
Millions, Lucy. You need to look into this.
Hey, I'll let Cooper
first
know, thing, I'll let Cooper
tomorrow
know
morning. But Cooper know immediately. Don't tell Bailey. Fuck Bailey. Let Cooper know.
Okay, I'll let Cooper know. Not Bailey. Cooper only. Okay.
You're a doll, Lucy. You're an absolute doll.
Please don't call me that. Okay, bye.
So already hung up.
This, Jackal Express, I mean, this has to be the guy. I mean, the badge at the guy with the badge that,
yeah,
with Felix, that there was a couple that the other people said at the camp that were in contact with Ed and Chris. They saw two people. That has to be him and his wife.
Jean, would you like to, in a 1920s American newsboy accent, like to read this article for
that
us?
That is from 1991, so no, I will not do a 1920s. Thank you very much.
Good,
but
1991 American accent.
1991! Yeah, 2 months ago, there were 8
newsboy.
Related prostitute murders in Houston. Several people saw what seemed to be the same man in the company of each prostitute before she disappeared. Composite drawings based on their descriptions led detectives to a colleague, Texas Highwayman Patrol Kenneth Braverman. His car and license plate were identified. Corpses, or at least parts of them, were spotted hidden away in drainage pipes and abandoned buildings. All the corpses were drained of blood. Some had been sexually molested. Most showed signs that they had been field-dressed like deer, and parts of the cadavers had been removed, leading to speculation that the killer was engaging in acts of cannibalism. When the investigation began to focus on Braverman, he murdered his children, kidnapped his wife, and fled Houston before officials could apprehend him. His vehicle was last spotted northbound on Interstate 69. Any information on Braverman's whereabouts should be reported immediately to the Texas State Police hotline.
Ooh, now there's a wrestling heel, Kenneth Braverman. Oh.
Ooh.
And with that, you guys receive that, like, fax of, like, the Texas, the Houstonian, and with it you receive a packet of information, a very in-depth investigation with pictures, 100% of this guy that you guys have seen in the video at the gas station, the one with Royos. You see a white guy, pretty, short cropped hair. You can tell that by the time you saw him, he had a beard, but you see, like, his police photo, like his, like, police ID photo, his driver's license photo, and this picture that he spoke about of him and a woman at what looks like to be, like, a police, a police department, like Christmas party. With them, mm-hmm. like, holding each other and smiling. Him in his uniform with, like, a Santa hat on and her smiling and, like, all dressed up.
Does Jack recognize him from his vision?
No. The man you saw in your vision was big and had long, dark hair. But the woman...
That was crying?
The woman who was crying in the cave... her knees up against her chest, which is like, couldn't even weep anymore. This is Braverman's wife.
Jack will just, like, almost fall back on his ass and just be like,
yeah, actually, go ahead and roll sanity check.
An ass falling check, please.
Yeah, just throw your classic ass falling
check.
That's a 100.
That is a fumble.
Oh, that is...
What a perfect time to get it, though.
Excellent. Like... Okay, so first and foremost, take one sanity damage, and also roll me a dexterity.
For falling on your ass?
Okay. Success.
All right, you fall back in your chair, but you don't take any damage.
You don't break your coccyx.
I was going to see if you fall back and you like whack your head.
Jack will just be like, he's like, that's her. That's the woman I saw last night in the vision.
Yeah. Yeah. The 100 roll is a fumble. It's always a fumble, pumpkin. So that's why we did that. It's a critical failure. Would you say that out loud? That's the woman I saw in my vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a weird thing to hear.
It is.
Say that again, Jack. You saw this woman in a vision?
This is what I was talking about last night after reading Sage's journal. Like I said, I might have did something stupid.
We all do stupid things, Jack. What's the flavor of your stupid today?
You turn into Jack Nicholson.
It's very Jack Nicholson.
Love it.
It's The Shining. He'll tell you, you know, he already said at over lunch what he saw roundabout, but he said specifically in this, like he said, the mine shaft, but he saw that this is unmistakable. This is not Bert Thorpe. This is not just overworked. That was the woman I saw. I couldn't just make up a face like that. He was crying next to two people and like almost cough up his breakfast meat hooks.
And Bert will look over to Thorn just like quizzically.
Meat hooks,
I just
Jack. On your...
I don't know how else to put it.
Vision quest that you went on.
That's what I saw. I think the quickest we get to those mines and see what's down there, the quicker I could either write this off as just being overworked or something else.
Okay. Well, Jack... I'm not gonna question what you've seen, but if you seem to recognize this person, then I guess we have to follow that. I just caution these kinds of phenomena. There's always an explanation, Jack. Remember that. There's always a rational explanation for these kinds of things.
Always. What are you guys doing? Are you guys going to
I want to go to the mine.
Jack, given all of what we've just been through, do you think it's safe for us to go to the mines by ourselves, unaccompanied?
Most definitely not. We just should take an NPC.
Nice.
When you say NPC... Do you mean non-player character?
Non-player character, yes.
Non-player
a
character.
A nice police cop.
Nice police cop. Do you know any nice police cops?
Do y'all want to take someone?
Well, Jack, if you're saying it's not safe for us to go by ourselves, I don't think I want to go by myself unless we have enough equipment.
I'm going to break it down for you. We're doing a murder case, and there's been up to 8+ people killed, and we're probably going to confront the murderer at some point. Probably in these mines, so no, it's not going to be safe at all.
How do you feel about contacting both Alejandros and Major Garrett?
let's just contact one, specifically Alejandro, so we can go to the fucking mine before the sun goes down.
You look out and the sun's already halfway behind the horizon.
Oh, goddamn. Well, sounds like we don't have a lot of time. Get on the horn, Jack.
Oh, this wasn't my idea. Oh, why I have to call?
In the way that you guys have gotten a hold of Colorado's previously is you've basically called the station, and then they radio him, and then he calls you back.
Right. Okay, Jack will call Alejandro's and leave a message if he's not there, or try to get a hold of him.
Yeah, you send out a message and you're there just telling him, you tell him to call back. And as you're staying there, you know, within like 5 minutes, you get a call back. He says, hello? Hello? Is this Dorner?
Dr. Dorner? This is Dorner. I'm just telling you around about. We're going to head towards the uranium mines under Mount Turnbull today.
Dorner, I need you and your team to meet me right now at the Gold Rush Hotel. Royos' car has been spotted. Royos' car. I'm doing that weird lisp thing that you do.
Sorry. Who's Royos? Explain one more time. Sorry.
Felix Royos, who was the first
murder. Oh, yeah.
First murder, yeah.
Royos, we found his body with his car. It's there. I'll talk to you about. I'll go with you wherever you want after that. But this guy, we've got him. He's at the hotel.
Jack says detour, and he'll like e-brake.
You're not talking around on a cell phone.
I thought
we
were in a conference room. Why are we e-braking in a conference room?
Yeah, no cell phones. No cell phone. Okay.
Okay.
As soon as he starts the car, he'll do a donut in the parking lot and head towards the...
He's still on his chair, and he narrowly avoided falling over, but he does an e-brake in his chair.
Right. You guys pull out, you know, and maybe, like, you know, you ask him where it is. He's like, it's down the highway on the way towards the, on the way towards the reservation.
Okay.
You guys pull up. And there is a big sign. It's pretty ratty looking. There are lots of RVs outside. This looks like a lot of maybe the place where people who don't want to kind of rough it at the campsite maybe stay, right? You know, like the last like hotel. And there are cars everywhere. There's like a few. There are a few of the Apache police, but there are a lot of highway patrol cars. And it's, like, surrounding this whole place. And you can see, like, you can see highway patrolmen and Apache police as well, all out with, like, shotguns. And, like, a bunch of the highway patrolmen are, like, set up, and they have, like, AR, or, like, M16s and stuff like that. Like, on the hoods of their cars. Like, they have surrounded this motel. And you can see that, like, one by one, there are, like, people coming out of the hotel, like, their hands up, and every single one of them is being, like, handcuffed and put in a car. Like, every single person is being brought out, like, one at a time.
Bert got something.
So, Bert is over in the corner on his phone. I think he's talking to Bailey at this point. It's like, okay. Bailey, we need to get every single fucking thing we can get out here. We need landscapers, solicitors, we need records, we need censuses. We need everything from the last 200 fucking goddamn years. There's about to be a goddamn gold rush out here. Except it's not gold, it's uranium. Are you listening to me, Bailey? Okay. More than generational wealth. This is global wealth. Are you listening to me right now?
About that time, Colorados is there, like, a part of this huge cordon around this whole hotel. And it's, like, out here in the middle of kind of nowhere, right? And he sees you, And like there's like a highway patrolman stopping you, and you see Colorado's yelling at them like, "No, let them through," like, and making like a big hand motion for you guys to pull your car up. Like the whole highway is blocked off.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a big motion for you guys to come over.
All right, yeah. I pull up to the spot and try and get out and meet him.
We don't know where he is. No one seems to know who was driving the car, so we have no idea which room he could possibly be in.
When was the sighting? Has he been here the whole time?
God knows. They say, no, like, even the people who work here, they don't know who drives the car. But it's parked over here in front of these rooms, so we figure it must be one of these.
Jack is, like, actually sort of relieved. He's like, this might be the end of it. Like, the vision was just a vision. He's like, okay, well, we were just on the call with Texas Highway Patrol. We think we're looking for a Kenneth Braverman. He'll like show him the photo that he has of him and his wife. He's like, this might be our guy.
He looks out. He's like, hey. And he like goes over to, he like has the picture and he goes over and you see Frank Garrett. He's like, what the hell do you want, Colorado? He's like, this is the guy. And he like looks over at you and he's like, you can tell he wants to say, we found his badge. Right?
Right.
He like,
can't say that.
This is the guy. Tell him what you know.
Thorn is like, he's gearing up. He's got like a bulletproof vest on. He's starting to put on his cap. He's like, get me on the horn with him. Which room is he in? What phone do we have him on? What are we talking? What is he negotiating? Do we have a line on him? What is he asking for? Tell me now. I'm ready.
But it's like, you guys are able to tell him that, you know, like, oh, like, maybe you don't say that you had the badge, but you can say, this is a guy who is wanted, who killed and, like, drained and ate a bunch of people in a very similar way in Texas. Like, we think it's this guy. And they're like...
It lines up, Garrett. Trust us.
He's like, God damn it, one of ours. Son of a bitch. You know, and he's like looking, he's like, all right, he's like, you know, and they've got like a big group of people and they're, you know, who are all like handcuffed in these cars. He's like, well, we haven't. He must be up in one of these rooms. My guys are about to go in right now. And you see like a SWAT team, basically, because like every door looks like it's been pushed open with the exception of like one door.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Right. Let's, next to where the car is parked.
Before we go in, get me on the horn with him. Get me on the horn. This is what I do. This is what I do, Frank.
Thor, maybe you could.
He's not answering calls. If he's in there, he's not answering. I think the coward's offed himself.
God damn it. Send me in.
I mean, you can try. Here's a megaphone. If you want.
he'll take the megaphone and he'll start. Kenneth, we need to talk to you.
No matter how much you implore or cry, there is no response. At some point in time, Braverman's like, Garrett's like, this is over. He's like, and he like, he gives a signal. He like gives a thumbs up to the SWAT team who are all piled outside this hotel room. And they, like, they come with a battering ram, boom, break open the door, flashbang goes in, they all swing in. No shots are fired. And after a minute, you hear the words shouted, clear, clear, clear. And they all come out, weapons down. One of them comes out, and he goes down to one knee and takes his ballistic helmet off and throws up on the ground, and one of the other guys comes up and like pats him on the back, and you hear them talking. They're like, inside is a nightmare. They're like, there's blood everywhere. Like, it's horrifying. And it's like, there's one of the guys walks up to Garrett. You guys are staying there with Colorados and Garrett, like the head of this team. He walks up there. He's like, you gotta see this, sir. Something fucking happened there. I don't know what it was. And he looks over at you guys, and Garrett's like, spit it out! He's like, there's guts on the bed. Like, guts.
Jesus.
actual guts. Just like
Yeah, it's like having flashbacks of the river of blood beneath his feet, and it's just like, Jesus.
Yeah. He's like, yes. And Colorado's just like, he's like, Garrett, let us go. Garrett's like, God damn it. He's like, Colorado's, you three, come with me. We're getting an eyeball.
Now, do hold up there.
What?
Are you going into the chasm?
What? We're going into the hotel room. What are you talking about?
Is there not a mine?
No, you guys aren't at the mine. You guys are at the motel.
Oh, Lord. I was simply talking to my employers, trying to negotiate the value of the hotel that you're about to walk into, and I do believe we are about to buy it. Give me just 2 minutes. I'm going to call Bailey and try to buy the rights for the hotel.
All right, you're not going to be able to do that in this amount of time. And right. I'm not sure it's going to affect police going in anyway.
Fine. It was worth a shot.
So they start going over. They, like, pull up the crime scene tape and they bring you guys in. Let me look at real quick at something.
I expect nothing short of a photo with guts all over the bed.
I do not have a photo with guts all over the bed, okay. As fun as that would be.
It would be really fun.
You guys are walking and you see the car. You see this maroon Ford Taurus. And Thorn, with your 64 alertness, you notice a sound as you're getting close to the car, and maybe you notice the flies gathered around the trunk and the Jesus. Buzzing of flies and yellow jackets, and you even watch a yellow jacket and a fly crawl through the crack into the trunk from outside as everyone like, you stop, and everyone else is watching. Colorado's just like, Thorpe, are you coming?
No. Chief. And he kind of beckons him over. Chief, I don't think we're going to find anything good in here, but we have to look.
He looks, he's like, and he comes up, and he gets close, and like he like bends down, and he goes like, oh. Shit. He walks over to the driver's seat. Driver's door opens the door. Reaches down, pops the trunk, and it just does that little poomp, just a little bit, just opens up just a little bit, and just flies in yellow jackets, just
ugh.
Front. Who's gonna do it?
Guess I'm there, I gotta look.
Thorn, you reach down, pull up the edge of the trunk.
Kind of narrowly tries to. He's still holding his weapon to just, I don't know, because out of habitually tries to track it as it's opening.
They think it's, the cops all think it's weird that you have a gun, but they don't say anything.
He's got his vest on. He was just controlling a megaphone. Of course he's got a gun. He's
you
the
open
negotiator.
The trunk, and as the door like kind of pops and gunk like all the way open, like the camera shot is from the inside of the trunk up at you guys. And we see Colorado's, you know, just like, ugh, you know, kind of covers his mouth. And the you guys all, and the shock on your faces. As the body of Kenneth Braverman lays there in the trunk. His knees up around, up to his chest as well. His arms at weird angles. And his stomach completely open and disemboweled. As he's swarmed by flies and yellow jackets. And Garrett, Major Garrett, looks down at that picture you just gave him. He's like, the fuck? I thought you said he did it.
Jack's like at a loss for words. He's like, we were sure. I don't. I'm sure we have to roll sanity for violence at this point.
Everyone roll your sanity check. Roll your big fat sanity check.
Okay, success.
Success.
And
you get a success. Everyone succeeds. Everybody
also
takes,
success.
Everybody take one.
Jax just at a loss for words. He's like, he was almost out of the nightmare. Like, this was about to be over, and it's just gotten worse.
Yeah. And that, my friends, we will zoom out. The camera pulls up with you guys all standing there around the car. The camera pans up. We see the SWAT team members disembarking from the room, and you know, and cops and everything. We see Garrett turn and shout at them to start unloading all the people that they've handcuffed. And we close out on that. And that, my friends, it's probably a good place for us to stop for this one.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus.
Well,
everyone, all our leads are dead. our big lead was.
Well, listen. No. Thank you guys for playing ball. If you're listening, if you're
thank
watching,
you, Joe.
Thank you as always. We really appreciate it. Listen, if you want to support us, go to Patreon. It's $3. It's linked wherever. You buy us a cup of coffee. It helps us be able to do this. So. But thank
put
you so much,
poll.
Pumpkin. I'm glad you catch us
put
live.
Put up a poll for a t-shirt that just says "All our leads are dead!" Exclamation mark. That should be the next t-shirt.
All our leads are dead. Isn't that the perfect investigation? Like, they're all dead. All right, well, guys, you did a great job. Like, I can appreciate Bert trying to. Trying to buy the location at the last minute, like trying to swoop in a game of Monopoly and be like, nope, sorry.
Well, see, the whole thing was Jack was only on the phone with Colorado's, and Bert still thought we were going to the mine.
Oh,
he
yeah.
just thought this was a very fancy mine when he pulled up to
it's
the
very
hotel.
Nice.
He still thought he was about to go into a mine. He's like.
Yeah.
Mines are a lot nicer than I thought they'd be.
They've got accommodation and everything.
I don't know if that's a Day's fuck up or a Bert fuck up, but.
Yeah. Whatever. It happens.
That's fun. Eh. Right. Thanks, Joe. That was good.
Yeah, but guys, thank you so much. Everyone listening or watching, thank you again. We will catch you next time. And remember, even when all of your leads are dead, stay safe. And stay sane. Bye.
Later.
All my leads are dead.
All my leads are dead.
And the sky is gray.
And the sky is gray.
My guts are on the ground.
My guts on the ground.
And the trunk is my grave.
And the trunk is my grave.
Okay.
Just
all right. Maybe you should include that on the actual outro.
Ha 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 ha!